Luke and I went go-karting. It was fun.
Oh,
yes, we did. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the track is a little bigger than the Bend one, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. and it was fun. There was a typical K1 nerd there, which is always my favorite thing.
Yeah, full race suit. Yeah.
Of course, he had his own helmet, you know, which is good. I'm into that because it's, you know, a little cleaner, doesn't smell like every person that's come into the place that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to wear a head sock if you don't want to. You could wear a head sock that's better fitted, like all those things. But man, I was like, oh, cool. Check this guy out. He's right in front of me. I'm going to follow him. And he was fast, definitely faster than us, but not so fast that it was embarrassing, which was kind of nice. I've definitely showed up to those before and like encountered people that are on the leaderboard frequently, and you can tell, like, they make you look like an idiot. this guy, he was practicing, we'll say that.
But there was also that dude that was talking to you because he noticed your Land Cruiser, and he was fast, and he was in like gym shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah,
so like he might have been wearing Crocs.
he was wearing those funny like Birkenstock closed toe sandals, but he had a pair of racing Vans that he put on.
Oh my god,
Natasha racing calls those potato shoes.
I see it. Yeah,
because they look like it's potatoes. Awesome.
They're incredibly popular. Yeah, it was a good time though. We had fun. And then, yeah, that guy, we ran into a guy with a Tacoma, and he's like in the go-kart staging, and he's like, hey, is that your Land Cruiser? And I'm like, what?
You just look like a Land Cruiser owner. So you're being profiled.
Yep.
And sure, so we chat for a little while, and then finally he's like, mine's got 150,000 miles on it. And I was like, oh wow, what year is it? He says 2015. And I was like, huh. And he says, it's a Tacoma. And I went, oh.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Well, nice. And that was pretty much the end of the story.
Yep.
Okay. Was it as fun as the drift track, though?
No, nothing will ever be that fun. I told Luke, it's potentially the most fun I've ever had with four wheels. I think it is.
It was a pretty good, pretty damn good time.
It was so fun. I have to go back.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that here. I can't find it. The K1 drift thing doesn't compare. It's not as good, but like they seem like each one of them, they're like a franchise, right? And they like seem mm-hmm. to shroud their schedule in mystery. Like you cannot find a calendar for these places at all. They just, in fact, the one in Bend, one of my friends sent me a text one day and was just like, hey, drift night's tonight. And I'm like, where do you find this? I can't go tonight. I'm busy.
You got to be on the inner circle.
Yeah, well, it's like how we found out that there's faster carts, but you have to be in the inner circle to even know about it.
Yeah, somebody's got to, you know, say, hey, by the way, if you go under 25 seconds, you can get this different cart. And I was like, oh, cool. And I looked at Luke. I was like, well, maybe next time we can try to do that. And Luke's like, I think you're going that fast already. And I was like, we're both going that fast. Why is this guy telling us now?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I think I'm going to go to the Land Cruiser Club meeting in a few weeks, by the way, over here.
Ooh.
We'll see how this turns out. I'll report back.
Where is it at?
I think it's in Golden.
Oh.
And there's... I started looking at this forum. They have an active forum, which... I don't know if you guys remember this about me, but I love a forum. So I've been
back.
Yep, I've been kind of tinkering around on there. I'm not really posting anything, but I am creeping.
Lurking, yeah.
But then there's a guy that put a, I think it's like an L92, so like a Gen 4 LS in his 80 series Land Cruiser with a 6L80, and it's three linked. I was like, oh man, this is really cool. I was looking at the clearance recently after... Maybe it was after 80s on Edison, one of those events. I was looking at somebody's three link, and I was looking at the clearance where the upper link goes is where my passenger exhaust is. I was like, oh man, this is never going to work. Well, this guy's already three linked. And he built this like intricate, you know, S bend thing to get over the link. because his truck was linked before he swapped it. And I was like, oh man, can I see a picture of it? Because he didn't have a picture. And so he sent me a picture. And then he was like, oh, we should get all the V880 series together for this meet. And I was like, all of them? Okay. Interested to see this.
You and him.
One other person commented already, so we'll see. I'm very curious. Luke and I kind of talked about this a little bit this week, I guess. I'm very curious to see how many of these trucks are like registered and smogged. That is something I would love to have like inside info on, because there's some oddities with being 94 and also being now OBD2 and also being, you know, in various states of tune and a couple other things I probably shouldn't say on the air, I guess, now that I think about it.
Well, and Colorado emissions stuff goes back to like, I think 75 and newer, they require it to pass.
Now, did you see that California's got a bill out right now that is, you probably heard about it the same way I did. They're actually trying to do a rolling 30-year or 35-year. I forget.
It's called Leno's Law. It's kind of the moniker they've given it because he's one of the big sponsors of it. And it's a rolling 35 years. And there's like more intricacies to it where like it's not just a flat rolling 35 years. Then there's like a whole stipulations about like mileage requirements and that kind of stuff. And have to be something they could consider a collector's vehicle, which kind of is subjective, but so is like show and display is also a subjective rule set for imported vehicles that are under 25 years old. There's like that whole show and display loophole. And it's cars that are under certain production numbers and something considered quote unquote.
Is that Luke or me?
That's Luke. Okay. It just says Luke has stopped recording.
Okay. Damn it.
So I guess we'll pick that up in a little bit.
Man.
What happened there?
Hey, Luke.
Hi.
I don't know, but really quick, I wanted to welcome you to the Campfire Passport podcast. Thank you.
Go ahead and pick up. That was
wherever
probably
you were. Show and display.
I think there will be a similar guideline or rule set to that for the potential California 35-year thing, which would be pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sets a tone because they tend to. A lot of states follow them. I don't know that Colorado does, but a lot of states, you know, kind of follow the California thing. A lot of people hate it. I'm going to say that out loud because I understand that that is true. But that would be nice. I think it makes a lot of sense to, you know, I'm pro emissions overall. I like that.
Wait, are you pro emissions or pro clean emissions?
Less emissions.
Okay.
I'm anti emissions, I guess. Okay. I'm pro emissions control.
That's pro emission
Common sense
better
emissions
than it was.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. I'm going to run my entire platform on that. I can't wait for one of you to vote for me. Not all of you, but one of you. Anyways, I think that makes sense because I've always looked at the like, you know, pre 75 thing and been like, okay, well, that's been in effect for 20 years. So why did we just draw that line in the sand? Like, the point made on the podcast that I'm sure you were listening to that I was listening to on the Smoking Tire, they were talking about like, what about the person with the like 88 Corsica or something like that? Like, it sucks. It's super unfair. I feel like to make them try to jump through these crazy hoops to keep the car in like a modern emission control, you know, way, which I know this might not fix.
No, but you're right.
It's like a side effect of this.
It draws comparisons to some other stuff that we can leave out of this podcast. But It basically prohibits poor people from owning cars.
Exactly. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And there's like a multiple of opinions there. Like I also agree with the like not being super car dependent. Like I'm into that. Even though I love cars and I want to drive them, but like just making it so it's harder for people with $500 cars to drive their car all the time basically makes this problem where they just don't follow the rules. They get the ticket and then it just spirals out of control, right? Like it doesn't help anybody. Like it's not like they're making all of their tax revenue off of that. They should be making their tax revenue off of the guys driving, you know, I was going to say F50s. That doesn't make any sense, but you know, whatever, modern crazy cars that are avoiding taxes because they also can't register the car in California.
So or like, because they choose not to, because there are loopholes to that. Sure. There's two ways to apply that loophole. It's one is for taxes, and a lot of people do that. And two is because F40s, what's the point of making an F40 emissions legal? Well, that's not fun. And F40s don't get more than 500 miles a year on them.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Like it doesn't,
they're not gross polluters. Yeah.
Quote problem. Like the problem is probably, I hate to pick on them, but like, you know, whatever modern Chargers and Challengers are out there with their cats cut off. Like that's kind of a problem. The 10 F40s that are registered in California are not the problem.
No, they're not. But also buying a, you know, new McLaren and registering it buying it under an LLC in Montana and registering there and not paying your, you know, whatever. That's different.
Yeah. And that's shady too. And that's, it's, you know, that's not great. But
that's a different conversation,
different piece of that. And I like, I'm in this weird spot with mine where I'm looking at some of those other things because of the emission part of it. And it sucks. Like, I don't want to avoid the emission, but I want to be able to use the thing for the, you know, 100 miles a month that I'm going to drive it. And that,
yeah, you're
that
not,
part really
you're not
sucks
commuting in that truck. To, like,
figure it out.
And if you were commuting, you would have something that would be much more comfortable to commute in. It's why I bought the Miata, because commuting in the truck, if the weather's above 40 degrees, is really a waste of time and effort and diesel and tires and whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not everybody can have such a cushy truck like Colin with the independent suspension.
Everybody knows that the solid axle Jeep drives better.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. Oh man. Well, I do you guys have any, have you seen any news? I haven't seen anything worth sharing. I've seen about every single car site has tested the brand new like Ram 3500 super mega Cummins thing. That's all I see.
Super yeah, mega. Everybody. Well, it's because they all hit embargo at the same time, you know. Yeah. No, I can't think of any truck news, car news, whatsoever.
Okay. Colin?
I saw. Now my computer decides that it's not going to load it. I saw that some famous, well, I don't know if we define fame, I guess, some internet people that are known global overlander travelers got arrested in Iran. So yeah, no, and there's like no real information on what has happened or why.
Oh boy,
they were arrested and detained or however you want to word it.
Yeah,
but I want to say, wow, why is this not loading? So I can't give any information. I think it said that they were motorcycle
charged with espionage
expedition. Is
oh
yeah,
boy.
Charged with espionage. Yeah, wow. So kind of weird. But I guess they've got Iran has a history of doing this. It's happened in the past. So
they're Americans or they're
see what happens.
They're Australian.
I think. Yeah, I think they're Australian. Or
see,
they're
that's
Kiwi.
A surprise. I would assume they would. They would. You'd be at pretty high risk if you were American or British or Israeli or something. But like Australian, that kind of surprises me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a weird thing. One of the other. I just feel like it's something to be mentioned. I guess you know. Be safe when you're world traveling.
Sure.
I see that on X, they released this deal about their impact report.
Oh, okay.
Which apparently they essentially like they show what they've done and what their, app has allowed people to do as far as protecting, access to land and land conservation and things like that. Just kind of showing that the having access to proper maps and that connection point between people and whatnot is apparently helping as far as all of the land access and conservation and cleanup and all of that goes. Like they're touting that there, that there has been progress across all board, right. all fields there. So
yeah, that's super.
That's
cool.
Kind of cool. Just a another reason to continue, spending the money for the premium if you can, because it helps them continue to sponsor events that
and
make a difference,
grow awareness among the community. That I think the overland community generally speaking try to be good land stewards, but companies that mm-hmm. give back to that and that they're studying that is obviously positive. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah. They've got a little chart showing about their restoration programs and their expanding outdoor adventure programs, and it's really diverse, which is really cool. Like they have projects in hike, hunt, mountain bike, fish, dirt, snow, and motorized, skiing, horses, camping, climbing, adaptive nice. Access, and camping. Did I say camping?
Anyways.
I skipped and came back. Very cool.
Camping and camping.
I saw they also released the cell phone coverage layer, which is something Gaia has had for a long time. It's pretty cool that Onyx added that. It's a really nice feature if you're especially when I've got out on solo trips, to be able to at least know I have coverage that I can text my wife and say, oh, I'm safe, even though I'm in the middle of nowhere or whatever,
that layer and the addition of the the fire maps as well has that's a really cool mm-hmm. added feature to those that are actually helpful mm-hmm. Real information that can make a huge
Absolutely.
Difference down the road. I also, I'm going to share my screen for this because it's kind of neat. I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but Alucab has released roof conversions for the Grenadier. So that is pretty cool because... that is exactly the type of vehicle that a lot of people are probably going to be willing to spend that kind of money to do that with. I don't know what the floor is like. I don't know how flat it is in there, but it's a lot like, you know, it's just a modern 110, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think it's long enough. It's not like a Truby, but it's long enough.
Yeah.
That's
price is that basically bad. The same as on all the other ones. Granite, like, so
that's not bad. It's cheaper than GFC on the back of a, you know, a light truck, like, you know, a Jeep or whatever.
A full-size truck, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the new generation of GFC, yeah, like, if you add a couple accessories to it on a Gladiator, it's that much, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the base price. The base price. You add a couple pieces to it, all of a sudden.
Not terrible.
It's there.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, it's cool. I, you know, there's no pictures of the inside or anything of, like, so you can kind of get an idea of what it's like to crawl in and out of it or whatever.
I was looking for a picture of, it looks like the seat, well, oh no, that's the load floor is flat. I was trying to see if there's a picture of the seats folded down in a Grenadier or what it looks like. It's mostly flat, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's Goose good. Gear makes a, you know, flat floor platform, but
of course they do
add another $1,000.
It's really needed, except it gives you like one nice uniform surface, but
yeah
interesting. That's pretty cool.
I thought so too.
Yeah,
that's all I got for notable news that I have seen. Yeah, I saw that the, in our, since we're, maybe we should do Sean's F1 minute because F1's back. And I saw that, there were a lot of spin outs.
Oh my God.
Which was hilarious how many there were. And Yuki got screwed. He almost was top five.
He did good. I mean,
he was top five most or better for his most results of the damn race.
Show how well he actually.
Exactly.
It was a crazy race. Like they, 80% of the rookies spun out and were out of the race. Ferrari botched their strategy per usual. They were ready, and then the car filled up with water.
Leclerc drives a backup.
Hamilton wouldn't press K1, and I don't know. They just lost it. So must be the water. But man, I mean, Lando Norris really like had the race of the. I mean that was a great opener for him and for McLaren, and I think it was really interesting. It shook up enough that I was like, whoa, this could be kind of interesting. There was like enough going on that it was half silly but half like cool race stuff. And also, I don't know if I said this in our text message thread, Colin, but I heard somebody refer to the new Racing Bulls cars as sugar-free Red Bull, and it made me laugh pretty hard. So I'm gonna keep that going all year.
Well, it never rains in Australia, so that's makes for like it's rare for an Australian race to be wet. So that was kind of made for pretty fun.
I don't think they were expecting that.
Was that the video that you sent? Because you made the comment, and I saw a video that Yuki was like, it's not sugar free. Like he says, says it's something else.
It's racing correct, bowls.
Because he's heard that, or you know, the team has heard that as well. So they released like him doing like a little,
oh my god,
like reel or something, and he says it's not sugar free. It's
that's really funny. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I would assume. One would assume that he has a small chip on his shoulder about not going to Red Bull.
Yeah.
And
which is fair.
He drove this weekend. Like there was a lot less error, I feel like, than normal, and he qualified well. And
didn't he qualify fourth?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. It's pretty good. I mean, especially coming from a junior team. Like, he's got experience now, and the car is obviously good, but like, still impressive.
Yep. No, literally zero other than background Yuki content in Drive to Survive.
No, he was.
Yeah, he didn't have that.
He had like a couple interview sessions. Because it.
Did he?
Boy, I'm like four or five episodes in, and there's been nothing but
When you get to
in the background,
a couple more episodes, you'll get to some of the driver drama surrounding Red Bull. There's some.
And they finally talk to him.
Yuki, involvement there, and without like spoiling it, he has a chip on his shoulder about it. So,
Which is fair. Yeah, I feel like they know how much of a personality he is as far as the show goes. They know how much of a personality he is, and they're really forcing the, hey, look, George Russell has a personality, which is annoying because it's like,
he's got, he
doesn't
better.
Really. Like, they're trying, they're like really forcing the issue of like, oh, no, these other drivers, they have personalities. And it's like, no. Yuki's the one with the personality.
The Mercedes drivers, I think Antonelli has more personality. And
I have read multiple times that they, it really is dependent on the driver wanting to be a part of it too, which is part of why you didn't see a lot of Checo and see a lot of Max, because they both
GTS
do not want to participate. Yeah. And Alonso, not as much.
Hamilton
either,
wasn't
so,
very
like,
much in this season.
No, although he was a main subject.
Yeah, well, that's probably why, because he was avoiding that so that he didn't have to continually answer the same questions.
And they kind of got it out of the way up front. So it's like, how much can you talk about this one thing when, like, each episode, I think they did a really good job this year of having each episode really have a theme or, like, a story to tell rather than the story of the whole season, which a couple seasons ago was kind of the whole thing, and then it was like over embellished some of the stories and got a little corny. This year's still a little corny in some places, but there's some like setup scenes and stuff, but in large part I think they did a really good job of like telling some individual story lines.
Well, it's the whole broad audience thing. They kind of have to allow it to appeal, because that's the main focus of the show is to grow the audience itself. So
definitely.
And obviously it's done a good job.
Yeah.
They've got proof of that.
I mean, I enjoy it a lot.
Same.
The one where they followed the guys around, like all the younger guys that had they're carrying the Netflix phone. That was pretty good. Like, that was kind of corny, but in the way, like, I liked it. It was good watching them pretend to be vloggers, and some were doing great and some were just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And that was kind of funny. It was good. I did have a piece of news that was going to roll us into our topic.
Okay, let's go.
The news is that Four Wheel Drive 24/7 just posted a review of the BYD Shark 6, which I thought was super interesting. I passed by it a couple times, and then finally I was like, you know what? I should watch this and kind of see. And it was a pretty interesting review. And I didn't know anything about that vehicle because
I hadn't either.
Yeah, we don't get BYD here, and it's like this kind of oddball Chinese company that we just have been told,
oddball to us.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. We've been told is garbage because it's Chinese, or that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all we know. There are automotive journalists, Doug DeMuro being the main one. I know you hate Doug DeMuro because you don't know who he is, Colin, other than the guy that thinks Land Cruisers are worth too much money. But Doug has been saying for a year now that BYDs are like, they're very good and they're way better than what we thought they would be. And the US will not allow them in. And therefore it's very difficult to review them or to get any sort of spin on them. But the ones that he's been around, he seems to like. So I was like, well, maybe. And solely by that, I was like, maybe I should watch this. And it turns out the Shark is the gas assisted hybrid truck that we probably all dream about, that everybody is all excited about for the Scout now, or the the Scout. And it's, but it exists already, and it's smaller, and it's probably
way
cheaper.
Have you been listening to This Car Pod? Oh, okay. Doug talks about.
I've watched the clips.
It seems like he talks about the Chinese car thing every week.
Okay, well, that explains why I've heard him talk about it, because I've heard maybe two of those podcasts, and both of them probably include.
Anytime
that.
EVs come up, he's like,
"But I'm going to screen
EVs are okay. Wait till China finds their loopholes into selling EVs in the United States, because all their stuff is really good, and they're going to have a 10 year advantage on like R&D and all this stuff."
Yep.
Yeah.
So, the BYD Shark is basically, from the outside, a mini Ford Lightning slash Frontier slash
it does look Frontier
Tacoma,
a little bit.
Like it's all of them.
A little bit of GMC on the grill.
Very
F-150
square
on the tail light.
Just love
that, so that side.
There. Oh, that is Lightning right there.
Yeah, the side view is very. It looks. It has an odd
little Kia Tasman here and there
to it for sure.
Yeah, a little bit, which is again the best Kia there is.
That's not saying much, but
look at that premium interior.
Don't talk about the Rondo. Like that.
What's the Tasman? I thought it was. Isn't it
Tasman?
What's the Rondo
truck thing?
It's the little.
I don't know any Kias.
Little hatchback SUV thing.
Pretty cool. Some downsides though. No low range. So it has a couple things, right? Like it has the benefit of having electric motors and really advanced traction control. So that helps it. So, you know, you would probably make the guess that a gas powered vehicle without low range and with that kind of traction control couldn't do the things that it can do, but it still isn't a true, like, you know, good gear reduction, low range. So it just doesn't, it seemed to, in their review, kind of not do great with some of the more difficult off-road stuff. But
yeah, like slow,
what are the tire
options? Like it's not really rock crawling, I would say. It's, you know, but slow, but ledges and things like that where you would want to have control up stuff. It can't figure out how to do that. You kind of have to roll into it, which is not exactly the best way to do some of those, because, you know, you can crush some
can
stuff.
You get a Rivian in Australia?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have never seen anything about them. In fact, I'm trying to remember if I've seen a right-hand drive one, but they've got to have them in England, right?
That'd be a pretty big vehicle for Britain.
Yeah, I mean, so is a Range Rover.
Rivian has 7 inches more rear leg.
Launching in Australia in 2022 is what they said. Confirmed in Australia. Let's see what this says.
It looks like.
Because they're a partner with Mevco, which has delivery vans there, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just curious if they have a lot of EV trucks to compare to, was really what I was getting at.
I'm not sure if they do. Well, anyways, I thought, so the review was interesting. It's, God, what's his name? I can't think of his name.
Jono?
Jesse?
No, it's Jesse. Yeah. And he gives it a pretty thorough, like pretty fair review. I feel like he kind of explains some of the downsides. He explains some positives, and he ends up landing on, if you live like close to trails or like the beach that you want to go out onto and things like that, like, or you want to commute with a small ute, it'd be a really good thing. Do we think it's going to handle like one of the big trips that we do or off, like hardcore off-road? Probably not. And I think that's fair. I think if at a low range, they might have a different story.
Yeah, it might be.
It's
might
interesting.
Be right there, if semi-capable.
It's interesting to me that the like the gas-assisted electric thing, the range is huge. And it's less when they're towing a trailer, which is no surprise.
Big surprise. Yeah.
But it's really good without that. And I think that's just super cool. I think I just cannot believe that this thing exists and we can't even think about getting it. It's kind of cool. Like,
I mean, I can believe it, but
I mean, yeah, I can believe it, but I don't want
that
to.
That seems to be the regular thing, honestly. Yeah. There's so many things like that that would be great if we could get it, but we didn't,
yeah,
or can't and won't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to, Luke, feel free to add any comments that you've got, but that will transition us into the main topic.
Well, I don't have any other comments on that, but I will tell you another Chinese vehicle that maybe you guys will get a kick out of. Mm. You may already know this one.
Okay. Is it the Tasman?
Phil.
Let's see. Well, I gotta find the right thing because it floats. It floats.
So it's a boat?
No, it's a car. The Yangwang U8.
Whoa. Careful there.
It's like the U812.
I mean, you may, but I don't know if we do.
Share screen the Yangwang U8 floating. What am I supposed to say, Sean? Okay, can you guys see that?
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Hey, it's a Land Rover.
Yeah, well, it has...
Yeah, it looks like a new Defender.
It looks like a new Defender, right? With a Lincoln front end.
That looks like an RC car.
Man, if any of these Chinese car companies are listening and they want someone to help them try to promote these in the U.S., hit us up. Secret RSCP at gmail.com.
There we go.
I will drive this in every body of water near me. For you.
Yeah, I think it has like 25 minutes of buoyancy, I guess you could call it.
Of boating?
Of boating.
What you doing, boating? I require a little bit more boat time than that, but okay.
Well, yeah, I do
just
too.
Boating.
I don't know. So then there's like just like this is what the body looks like.
What's the wake like?
Oh, I'm on the wrong screen. Damn. Yeah, and then there's like the overall view of the thing.
I like it. It's like a GX550 and a Defender 110.
Yeah, it's got some like Lincoln / D110 / like, I don't know, Y62 Patrol look to it. I don't know. It's the car that Doug talks about like every week how he wants to drive one because he wants to.
Oh, it's a BYD.
Make sure it floats. I think he wants to drive across the like San Diego Harbor in one.
What a shill. Love it.
So same company as the truck.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Did we lose him again?
Goodbye.
There we go. All right.
He's here.
Well, that is awesome. I didn't add that to this list, but I should. So what I wanted to suggest as a main topic is forbidden fruit cars. So things that we can't get. What I wanted to say actually was, tell me about all the cars that we can't get in the US and tell me why they're not a 70 series Land Cruiser, because
I knew that would be your first one.
I actually,
that's exactly what your first one was going to be, was 70
I added
series
that as it's half and half. It's half joke again, because every Toyota guy says that they want it, but no one would buy it.
It's like you listened to last week's episode of This Car Pod, because Doug goes on this exact same word for word rant about how everybody thinks they want a 70 series Land Cruiser, and nobody actually wants a 70 series Land Cruiser.
No. It would be people like me that would buy them used.
Yeah, that's there's 8 people that want one.
In fact, probably every car that I pick is the same way, because Americans don't buy these cars and that's why we don't get them. But like, still. But yeah, so anyways, I asked you guys to come up with some forbidden fruit cars, and I thought it'd be interesting. So I didn't say this on the text message, but to kind of like set the stage here, it probably should be a new car or a newer car. Like ultimately,
there are a bunch of cars, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of cars that are 25 years old that we all thought were forbidden fruit, and they were, but now we can get R34 GTRs are in there now, S15s, all of the things before that, of course. There's a ton of them. There's a lot of cars that have popped up that are like Euro cars. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's, mm-hmm. you could import that now. You know, B5 S4, RS4, all those things are doable. So that's pretty cool. And those were cars that, you know, like were super important for us, you know, in a certain time frame. And now they're kind of things that are a little more obtainable. But these are like cars that you couldn't get without, you know, a lot of money or
Well, it wouldn't be worth the, no. The juice would not be worth the squeeze, so to speak.
These are, I won the lottery, fuck you kind of cars. Even if they're cheap cars.
Or just, it'd be that hard. I could wave a magic wand and import this car tomorrow. Like, sure. You know, whatever.
Like the BYD Shark 6.
Or the Yang Wang U8.
Or yeah. The Yang Wang.
I mean, I think I might actually be more into the Yang Wang now that I'm looking
at it. Sean's into the Yang Wang.
The Yang Wang guy. The Yang Wang.
Clip that. yeah, I guess I have a hard time with the newer stuff because I don't pay a ton of attention to the newest stuff. But I will say, like, the ones that first came to mind for me, like older things, which and here's the thing is, like, I will say, even though yes, we can import them now, but because we didn't get them on the like front end originally, there's way less of them, so it's still not like easy necessarily to import it.
Sure.
So it's still kind of a forbidden fruit. Like when you see one, it's whoa, what, you know, I don't see these.
What?
And ones that right away come to mind for me, of course, is Land Rover trucks. So Defender trucks.
Yeah.
In any format, like the 130 single cab is the most common that you'll see get imported, but like, they had them in double cabs. They had them in 110 double cabs. They had them in 130 double cabs. Like there's all kinds of Defender trucks that we never got. Range Rover Classic two doors.
Oh yeah, into
that was something we never got, and they're kind of cool, like XJ size, like XJ Sport Coupe size, but they're they're coilovers, solid axles. Like there's so much potential there, and we never got those.
Yeah.
And then, like we've mentioned before, GQ, GU patrols.
Oh yeah.
Which should be way more popular.
I still
than they are.
I'm just like,
considering what they are.
Yeah. It just has hit me that like, I don't understand why they didn't get popular at all. They just, it's
because it's because it says Nissan instead of Toyota. That's the reason. It would be like, if we did get them, they would still be less popular than their Toyota counterpart. Sure, yeah.
I mean, because they were elsewhere too, but.
Yeah, but.
Still way more popular than here. We
should have, you know, gotten those because why wouldn't you?
Because you got the Xterra. We have a patrol at home.
Right. Yeah, the patrol at home.
Comes with a first aid kit.
In the rear hatch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Those are all good.
Sean?
I mean they're not 70 series Land Cruiser okay. good.
So 70 series is yours. Okay. Do you have any others?
I do.
Or are we going around the table? What are we doing?
No, I'll do the same thing Colin did, except for I'm gonna screen share. I just think it's interesting they still make it. Like you alluded to, I don't think Americans would buy it, especially with how much money it costs. They're not cheap. It's not like this is a $30,000 vehicle. It's a $60,000 vehicle. So like, it just wouldn't sell because it lives in a market that's supposed to take over like base model, you know, 2,500 Rams and stuff. And we just, Americans would not give that up. And
they're tradie trucks.
Yeah. But
and they are not like that. The creature comforts are few and far in between. Like they're stripped.
Yeah.
Like the whole concept. Like, yes, there are, you can get them with a bunch of stuff in it, but you're still going to realize very quickly, like, the difference between getting in that and getting in a Hilux of the same year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a Tacoma if you're here.
Yeah. I still would, like, you know, given the opportunity, I would try to get one somehow. But yeah, I mean,
I don't like these ones, honestly.
For a 2025, like, this interior is, there is still metal inside the cab. They do have an automatic transmission option finally, but like not a lot of other things. But they're cool. I think they're sweet. I do not think that they're like the ultimate, you know, 4x4 by any means, but I think they're pretty cool. I'm into them. And still solid front axle, that kind of stuff, which is great.
Yeah. I think the body style before this new body style was way better.
I think it's better. I think I prefer the generation before, but I do like the new one. Cars that we can't get that fit, like you can't import yet. B8 RS4.
Yeah.
That one is a big one for me. Still 4.2 V8, still available with a manual. I mean, just super cool. Like we got the RS6 finally, which was really cool, but it's huge. These are not huge. These are like a manageable, normal sized sedan or wagon. And of course the wagon is the right choice. Even the A4 like TDI versions of these that are in Europe are so much better looking for some reason. It's just like all those extra little, I don't know what it is. They just look so much better. So that is the Euro car nerd in me. And then the last one I pulled up, I was looking at news for just like for the show, and I found apparently the M5 wagon has been a hot sell. And we're that's pretty sweet. Though. Are we eventually getting these now?
We're getting the M5 touring.
Okay. Well, hey, it's not so forbidden anymore. I'm not going to buy it because it's very, very expensive.
Yeah. I was going to say they're heavy. Just as you were scrolling there, the comment was they weigh as much as, I don't, like an F-350 or something like that. Apparently they're very heavy.
Let's see. What does it say?
Up a little.
Emissions.
There's another, one more paragraph up.
It weighs 1865 so kilograms.
Go up one more paragraph. It was more.
Oh, more than an F-150.
Yeah.
Man. I think all of these wagons, you know, that we didn't get, of course, are just there.
Yeah. Lots of wagons that we didn't get.
Yeah. And it's because Americans are not buying them. It's definitely like fun to say because they don't, you know, want us to have fun or whatever, but like realistically people are buying SQ5s and X5Ms and X3Ms. They're not buying M3 and M5 Tourings in the US.
The bulk of buyers are buying RAV4s.
Sure.
And they're
small SUVs.
Yeah.
Small to mid-sized SUVs.
But that's what we've been forced into thinking is the like best thing to have, which is not true. No. So, in that threat, so they just now are becoming okay to import some of the early ones. Renault Clio V6 RS.
I saw that. Yeah,
those things are so damned cool, and yeah, hot hatch. Like those things are way cool. Very limited run, but I did see that they're going to bring it back again. It seems like they're on this weird like 10-15 year cycle where they like redo it again for 5 to 10 years and then they stop. So could be coming back. So it'll be once again forbidden fruit.
Mm-hmm. We also didn't get the Twizy?
The Twizy?
Yeah.
Or the Espace?
Espace.
What's the ridiculous like minivan looking thing that was on
with
Top
the weird
Gear
high headlights?
It's
not the Espace. That's the one they put the F1 engine in. Was the Espace? It's the
I'm trying. God, they're so ugly. They're one of the ugliest cool cars. They're not cool at all, but I kind of like them.
It might have been a Citroen, not a Renault.
Yeah, you might be right.
I don't remember. Damn.
I'm going to furiously Google this.
Yeah, I know. You are.
While Luke tells me his.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, speaking of French cars, Alpine A110 would probably be the top of my list.
That is.
I can screen share, but then it'll probably kill my connection again, so I'm not going to do it. They're kind of a Boxster Cayman, I guess more of a Cayman competitor. No, that's not the one. That's not the one. That's the Espace, but that's not the funny one. Yeah, that's the Espace. That's funny. Alpine A110, which is kind of a Cayman competitor, rear engine, rear drive, four cylinder manual, turbo. They're like 250, 300 horsepower. Look really good and.
The old ones are way cool looking.
Yeah.
And
like that thing is cool.
Everyone who's ever driven one is like, man, this thing's better than it's more interesting than any Cayman or FRS, BRZ, whatever. I think those things are awesome. So that's probably top of my list.
It's pretty cool.
What else did I have? On the JK, so it's actually an American vehicle that was never sold in America. The Jeep on the JK platform built the J8, which was an export military vehicle, which was a JK based truck, but it used the Liberty CRD diesel as an engine option with a manual and stock Dana 60s.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they were exported to Central America and a bunch of countries in Europe for, or they had optional 60s, I guess, because a couple of those pictures look like regular 44s. But they were exported to a bunch of government use.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, huh. For whatever reason, you might have been able to. Is that so you? Could you get a V8 in them?
35s.
Allows the customer to install or have installed. Talking about the AEV. Five. Oh, okay. Because AEV was doing some of the conversion upfit stuff on them for export. I always thought those things were so cool. I was always sad that you couldn't get them in the United States, even though they were made in Toledo.
They struck a deal to sell 120 of the J8 component chassis in the US.
Okay.
So fully assembled, but without an engine or transmission. So then you could put in the 2.8 turbo diesel or the 5.7 Hemi.
I had no idea.
And be legally registered as a, quote, component vehicle, unquote.
Huh. That's new. I did not know that.
There you go.
That's very cool. On the hot hatch front. GR-Yaris.
Hot hatch front.
GR-Yaris. Oh, how'd I forget that?
Honda E. Those things are, I think they're really cool looking. They probably will go like 80 miles an hour, but I think they're cool looking. The Yangwang U8.
How could you forget the Yangwang?
The U8. Oh, and then the Suzuki Jimny.
Oh, of course. Yes. Another good one. That's definitely good.
And that's another, like, absolutely, if I could import one tomorrow, I'd have one. It's just my my dream is to like have a house in the mountains, and that would be my like little runaround.
That's good.
Yeah, that's I've got other stuff, but it's most of it is like jokey, like the Yangwang.
I mean, bring it up. Come the on.
Aspark Owl, which is a fake supercar. The MG Cyberster, which is like, kind of looks like a, what's the Volkswagen convertible they made for a minute that was on the, like, Mark V, Mark VI?
An EOS?
Yeah, kind of looks like an EOS.
Okay.
Navara NP300, that's actually, they're pretty cool. You see those all over Mexico, they're pretty cool trucks.
Oh, it's got Lambo doors?
Yeah, it's got Lambo doors.
Heck yeah.
Look at that. Wow.
And then Nissan now makes a car called the Xterra, but it's X-Terra, and you can't get it in the United States. Look that one up. Yeah, it's that. Which is, it really looks like a Highlander. I have no idea. I don't know anything about it. But I just think it's funny that they make the Xterra, but they don't sell the Xterra in the place where the Xterra actually would sell.
Nope.
Yeah, it says Middle East. Nissan Middle East.
Yeah, it looks like a Highlander. It's kind of it's pretty boring.
Go down a little bit again. What was that blue? I saw that. What's that? The new 26
Xterra. Oh, that's a rendering of a Xterra based on the current Frontier.
On the new Frontier,
I'm into that.
Let's
make that happen.
I like it. I wish they'd build it. And that's all I have. All right. Yeah. Yeah, a couple of those. I was like, yes, I would have.
It's on Navara. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the Navara is a common Australian thing that we never got.
They're everywhere. Everywhere south of the U.S.-Mexico border, they're like the most, like you see Tacomas in the United States, you see these everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would even add to that the Ranger before America brought them back.
Yeah.
They were available in double cabs everywhere.
Yeah. And Mitsubishi.
Even when we were getting the Ranger, we didn't get that. And the Mitsubishi Triton.
Mitsubishis, too. One more, the Dacia Sandero.
Mm.
Ah, the Sandero.
Oh, man, every time I get to see one of those, it's a real treat. Excellent news, everyone.
Excellent news.
Excellent news.
Right. Anyway.
I found the van, by the way.
Ooh.
When you're ready. So
let's see it.
I want to tell you, I searched and this is what I found. This is not the one, but this is one that popped up that I remembered from Top Gear. Right?
Okay.
The Renault.
Oh, yes.
Aventime. Oh, the Aventime. Okay.
Aventime. What a ridiculous profile. It's such an ugly, cool car. It's not cool, but it's so ugly.
No B pillar.
That's still not the one I was thinking of.
It's not. Hold on, because I think this is the one when I pulled up, but I could not find it. And what I finally ended up searching was weird UK minivan. And I'm not kidding. The second photo that came up was
the one.
There's a pop up on it. It's the Fiat Multipla.
That's it. Yes.
turns out it's actually Italian, I guess, but
you guys remember the episode of Top Gear where they put like old, like you know, the like old lady like armchairs with like the floral seats, and they put like they put those in there, and they went and picked up their grandmothers at like the nursing home.
Yeah
It's such an interesting vehicle.
Yeah, it sits three wide, front and back.
It's a modern 2CV is what it is.
Yeah.
maybe it'll age like that. Maybe it'll look that cool in 50 years.
Man, there are so
many. What you should do, Sean, is you should remember what we talked about in the last podcast. Type that in and then put stance.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
I would love to see if somebody has gone the length to.
The French have never made the best cars, but they've always made the most interesting cars.
There you go. Yes. Interesting cars for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
I guess that's a Fiat, though. It's Italian. Damn. My point remains. Because of the Aventime and the Espace.
Absolutely.
It's going to be hard because it's not zoomed in enough because I don't have Pinterest.
Yes. Oh, look at that.
Look at that thing on the TH lines.
Yes.
Little hood bra. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty good, man. Yeah.
The other one
is that a Colorado plates on it?
Huh. No, I don't think so. It almost looks like a Maryland plate, though.
Oh, geez. How old are those things? Can you import one yet?
Late 90s. You totally could.
Ooh, yeah, we can.
I gotta share a different screen because I found
that one. Would be a real interesting one to import.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Get ready.
I'm ready.
See that?
Ooh. Oh, I like it.
Even comes with music.
Oh yeah,
got some four spokes on it.
Look at that.
Oh yeah. Look at
that. Hell yeah. You know what? That's, I like it.
I'm into it. Look at that face.
That's great.
Oh man.
Ours I've never seen so.
Well, I'm so old that I can use TikTok on a desktop, and I don't have it on my phone.
Oh my god! Well, you don't want the Chinese to track you.
That's right. Well, now I do. That'd if they're terrible. Gonna give me Yang Wangs,
if we can get the Yang Wang,
yeah, I'll trade.
Track me all I'll you trade want. You
tracking my every move. If I can have a Yang Wang, you hate. Yeah.
Go on all of the Overland. Oh, good.
Nice.
Okay, where should I start? I've got three for you.
Start high.
Start with the. Yep. Okay.
High as far as what? Price, ride height?
Yes. Yes. You bet. Dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. Okay. Let's see. Let's go with. Okay. Yeah. I'll go high on this one. Real, real high. This here is a 99 F-150 short bed super cab, $7,000. It's down in Fallon, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Monster truck project on 44s. Has low mileage 4.7 Triton, new clutch, comes with a set of CNC coilovers.
That must be a brand.
Needs the janky lift cut off the coilovers, installed. Needs the janky lift cut off and coilovers installed. Drive lines cut, fuel tank flushed.
What does that mean?
I guess they need to flush the fuel tank, not like cut.
But do you need to cut the drive lines?
Well, because it doesn't have drive lines.
It needs you some punctuation.
Lacking punctuation.
Drive lines cut. Yeah,
maybe, those look like RC car coilovers. I guess you gotta cut the drive lines.
I don't know.
Yeah,
they do look like.
I like the. I love the high mounts that are on it. Like that's.
They look pretty weak, don't they?
Oh, that's the brand.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, CNC. What does that say? Overtime performance.
Okay. Whew. Doing a Google on that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see how much those coilovers cost with the tiny Heim joints on them. Yeah, this thing's like 7 feet in the air. and has some bald... What are those?
Those are Truxus. I see those all the time.
Truxus.
Yep.
What are they, though?
They're an interco tire.
Yeah.
Truxus for your oversized Tractus.
But it's like that weird...
It's like Truxus XC or SXS or something, which does not mean side-by-side, I don't think.
Yeah. It should, because that's the only place I've ever seen it, is in the sand or on shitty rigs like this.
Huh. What are the other... keep going. What are the other pictures? Oh, ew.
Yeah. Inside, got a hole in the driver's seat, because, you know, it's not vacuum.
That's the least of its problems, for being honest.
Now those the coilover pictures and that's it. The only photos. Yeah, not much.
Well, I'm a no. I don't think.
What makes you say that?
A lot. One, I don't want a monster truck. Two, I don't want a Ford. Three, I don't. I actually, you know what? I don't hate that generation F-150 stylistically, but don't want one.
Not unless it's a Lightning.
There's just Yeah. Not a lot to love with that. I don't. Nope.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with you. That's it's a solid no. It's terrible. I've actually avoided putting this on here for like months. He's been trying for a long time.
Man, the tires look too wide to be 40. Like the proportions, normally 44s look like they seem tall and skinny, even though they're not. Those look really weirdly wide and short.
Couple things. Yeah, I looked it up. Those coilovers are not cheap. They appear to be for this type of thing. No,
they're
just
worn out. They're used or whatever.
They're for monster trucks?
But I'm going to say 44s does not make a monster truck. That is...
No, monster trucks
it have says like, monster truck right
it's
there.
It's not a monster truck. It's tall.
Well, it's a monster truck project, Sean.
Yet a monster truck.
Not yet a monster truck. I would not consider... this a monster truck. I also would not pay money for it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well,
what makes a monster truck? Like over 60 inch tires?
Yeah, probably. Very tall and over 60 inch.
Driveline brakes and 1,000 horsepower. It's kind that of helps, what I'm
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah. Driveline brake for sure. 1,000 horsepower, negotiable, but you know, should be.
Should be.
Okay.
There are definitely some like Florida mud trucks that are monster trucks. But, you know, this thing is not that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see if you guys have any interest in this.
Ooh.
This is a Daihatsu Taft. Mm-hmm. It's a 1980 right-hand drive import from Japan. There's very few in the States, it says. Clean Washington title. No motor or trans. Ooh. Would be a great truck to do a 22 RE swap. Four-wheel drive, we'll trade for a dirt bike, or a Banshee. We'll consider other trades as well.
Not,
so if anybody's got a Banshee.
He's not getting a Banshee for that $3,500 Daihatsu.
Maybe.
I do too. I've seen these before.
Mini FJ40.
Yeah.
/ Patrol.
It's yellow and it's got
a lot of patina.
A pretty heavy patina that doesn't look terrible.
Remember,
it's got some writing on it.
Some people I know stood on the hood.
No. There you go. Do you remember my hair braid mini crawler idea?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the basis.
This needs
a K series.
Go into that.
Yeah.
And 80 series axles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're really into K-Series Rock Crawler.
Yeah, it's all like right. A dream that I'm never going to make happen that I want.
All right, well.
This is the platform. Yes, would pay money for that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd do it. I'd probably do something similar. Or I'd like, I don't know, lower it.
Hey, search 1980 Daihatsu Taft. Stance.
Okay, yeah.
I'm telling you, great results, I guarantee it.
Let's see. Go on.
Uh-huh. That's the new one.
The new one, of course. But geez, okay.
Smash my hat into my mic boom.
Let's see.
Nothing with the old one.
Oh, there's a Mira.
There's a Mira G on SSRs. Yeah.
Looks like a
Pulp
Mobile.
Does look like a Pulp Mobile. Ooh, that one. The red one in the middle.
Red one in the middle. This guy?
Yeah.
This?
It's like a mini truck.
Yeah, that's mini trucking for sure.
That's what I was saying. It's mini truck, that thing.
Yeah.
Woof. So look at them. Big inch. Wow. I mean, there's this guy.
That thing is kind of cool, actually. I hate to like it, but I kind of do.
All right, well.
Yeah, no old ones, though.
Ooh, look at that Datsun.
Yeah.
This guy?
From JMC,
Oh, man.
Hmm. Oh, here's some other ones. None of them are stance though. Mm. So you could be
the first.
Could be the first
on the market, yeah, with the old vintage stanced Taft. Okay. All right. So last one I've got here.
Ooh, man.
I've got a 99 Saab Viggen 9.3 NG900. Viggen, it says. Let's see. Laser blue. 420. Sick, bro. Of these in 99 with less than 500 of these in the entire model run. 2.3 turbo. Pulls strong. Boy, I don't know if I... Taliaferro. Genuine Saab 3-inch turbo back exhaust. Mike D. Of the Beastie Boys. ECU tune.
I didn't know that he was into that, but...
I didn't know he was into Saabs, cool. But cool, man. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, got brother, some as they say.
Stuff done. Cons. Needs tires.
Nah, that's easy.
Old. Roof paint and top of rear bumper have sun fading. Sunroof trim is cracked. Sunroof worked and stopped. Closed manually. Likely needs a fuse.
That's a stretch, when you but okay.
Do that, but okay. SID needs a new pixel ribbon. Turn signal switch needs replaced. Wants to keep the passenger turn signal active. Mirror switch in op, driver seat trim and switch covers missing. Bought this car knowing it needs some rehab, and so far it's gone great, but while I'm fixing little things, I figured I'd list it here before it's done, when I will list it on Bring a Trailer. If you read this far, you know that what this is and how cool it is. Nothing drives like a Saab.
It's born from jets.
Born from jets.
What's funny is there's another one of these that's like two blocks from me right now.
Oh, really? I've always really liked those. Mm-hmm. I don't love Saabs that much in general. And like the regular 9.3 is fine, but are so cool.
Those are
B70R S60R Pegasus.
That's cool.
Real or fake, who cares? That's awesome. I didn't even know that. I didn't know that those had the same bolt pattern as Ferraris and Volvos.
That seat looks messed up.
Yeah, it's upholstery.
It's a weird...
The hard part is the electrics.
Yeah.
Getting parts for the... Any of that kind of stuff is difficult. But yes, I would have it.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Oh, wrong. Wrong button.
What do you want for it?
Whoops.
What are these things going for these days?
I don't. What are these things going for these days? 6.5
wow,
at the moment.
Man,
maybe add that to a list of weird cars.
I bet he gets more than that on Cars and Bits.
Well, he says bring a trailer, and notice he's parked it next to an L322.
That's the wrong place for that car. CMB would probably be better. I feel like they appreciate stuff like that more.
I also would pay money for it.
I don't know.
It's cool.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Uh-oh. Whoa. Sean's taking over.
Numerous modifications. 99.
Oh, 93. Numerous.
$5,000.
Wow. They're cheap.
$5,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. What does Doug say?
August of 24.
Yeah.
Pretty recent. That surprises me. I figured that'd be 10.
Yeah, me too. Turns out they didn't hold their value very well.
Well, again, it's everybody knows they're hard to maintain.
Yeah.
They're such cool cars, but what a shame.
Yeah, there's certain Saabs that I am, like, Saab in general, I'm not, like, the biggest fan of, but, like, there's certain ones there that are just absolutely perfect.
There's a couple Saabs that I commute with, like, that I see on my commute, like, I don't know, a couple times a week that I'm always like, nice. Give a nod, a thumbs up, whatever. Like,
6-speed car. I don't recall the last
I love the old 900, like an old 900 turbo. And
yeah, there's one of those, the older ones. So cool. And then there's one of these newer, like 9.3. Aero Viggen turbo, whatever.
9.3 Viggen convertible in great shape.
I think it's a great looking drop car. Top.
Look at this interior. This is way nicer.
Way nicer.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
It's got A4 floor mats. Oh, wait. One A4 floor mat. One
A4 floor mat. And floor mat.
Hey, the other one had Volvo wheels, so
you gotta piece them together. It's got, like a Johnny Cash.
Yeah, you
Cash
gotta do
catalog.
What you gotta do when it's a Saab.
Yeah. They're just so weird.
That's the point. You own it for a little bit, and then, man, I owned a weird car.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
I like. We have that GTV. We have the GTV 6. That intake manifold on that thing was handmade for that car. It's like a, you know, it's like four flat pieces of aluminum made into a box. Well, the tube from the throttle body to the airflow meter is now, it's been wrapped so many times in electrical tape that you can't really tell what it's from to try and keep it like one piece. Nice. And so today they come to me and they're like, hey, you like weird stuff. We think this intake tube came from a Volvo. Can you figure it out? I'm like, maybe? I don't. Do you have any, like, what kind of Volvo? What year? What? No. Just a Volvo. But because I'm the guy who likes weird stuff, you know, you MGs go. And Volvos and whatever.
Hey, Luke, you've got nothing better to do